saw it charging. I could tell it was charging because I saw the light on mine.
I wonder if that woman, when she unplugged it, like, screwed it up or not.
Incredibly smart.
You can see the hose over there.
Let me see this. This doesn't make any sense, dude. I don't like them.
No, either.
Thank you.
Okay. Hello. Now, I'm willing to bet you that there's a different number of people who had GNSO lunch and will be in here for the GNSO lunch meeting. However, those of us that are in here, I'd like to ask Margie, you've had a chance to eat? Right. To start your presentation on picket fences and consensus policy and such. And first of all, thank you for doing this, because there are so many of us, especially with new people coming in all the time, who have no idea what it includes. You're not trying to, okay.
Yeah, and as a newcomer on the policy staff, when I first came on board, I didn't understand it, and so I spent a lot of time kind of reading the contracts and working with legal. Thanks, Dan, for all your help in understanding how the consensus policy and scope discussion, you know, occurs. And so hopefully this presentation will be helpful to all of you in looking at future work for the GNSO. So basically, Avery had suggested that the presentation be put together to provide guidance to the GNSO and the working groups, and we can share this presentation with other working groups on GNSO scope and consensus policy, because a lot of issues have come up over the years, and it just thought it'd be useful to provide a high-level summary of how the GNSO's role and what constraints there may be in policy development. The information that's presented is in summary form. It's not exhaustive. I mean, really, all of the information comes from the contracts and the bylaws. So, you know, what I did is summarize things, but to really understand it, you need to look at the contracts and the specific language in the bylaws. With respect to the Registrar Accreditation Agreement, I think most of you know this, but the Registrar Accreditation Agreement is a standard agreement that applies across the board to all of the registrars. It's the same language. And so I'll have some examples and cites to particular sections. But on the registry side, it's a contract-by-contract basis. In other words, every registry has a different contract. The format is roughly the same, so we can talk about general principles, but really, to understand the registry agreement, it just depends on the registry, and you'd have to look it up on the ICANN website. And so for this presentation, I've taken out examples from the .org agreement, and they're, you know, very similar across the board with the other registries, but there are variations. And then also, I just wanted to clarify that I'm not, you know, providing legal advice here. This is not a presentation; is just really summary, and it's not to be viewed as a waiver or modification of any, you know, terms of the ICANN agreement.
Yes. You say you're using the .org agreement. Is the .com and .net agreement at least, are they pretty much the same?
They're very similar. I mean, yeah, I didn't go word for word, but just generally, when I glance through them, they're very similar.
Okay. Because I know they differ in some.
They do differ in other respects, but on what we're talking about here, it's very similar. Okay, so when we talk about the GNSO scope, the first thing we need to look at is have an overall inquiry on ICANN's mission. And so, as many of you know, the mission statement is contained in the bylaws, and I've got it cited here. And basically, the mission of ICANN is to coordinate at the overall level the global internet systems of unique identifiers, and in particular, to ensure the stable and secure operation of the internet's unique identifier systems. And so the bylaws go on to say that ICANN coordinates the allocation and assignment of three unique identifiers for the internet, and these are the domain names, the IP address and autonomous system numbers, and protocol port and parameter numbers. And ICANN also coordinates the operation and evolution of the DNS root name server system, and ICANN's policies policy development is reasonably and appropriately related to these technical functions. So that's the overall inquiry. We look at the bylaws first to see, you know, whether what we're talking about is within the bylaws. We go down a step below that, and the bylaws actually have what we call the ICANN's core values. And in the bylaws, and these are just excerpts of the core values of ICANN, it talks about some of the themes and some of the principles that ICANN likes to abide by. And one of them is the one I'm sure you're very familiar with, but it's preserving and enhancing the operational stability, reliability, security, and interoperability of the Internet. Another one is introducing and promoting competition in domain name registrations. So oftentimes you'll hear references to whether we're promoting competition. That's a very important value of ICANN. The core values also indicate where appropriate, where feasible and appropriate, we need to depend on the market to promote and sustain competition. So sometimes we'll look at that when we're looking at scope. And then there's also a value in limiting ICANN's activities to those activities that require or significantly benefit from global coordination. When you step down further in the bylaws, there's actually an inquiry related to the GNSO, and you know many of you may know this, but the GNSO is responsible for developing and recommending to the board substantive policies related to GTLDs. So obviously we don't really get involved in policies related to CCTLDs or anything that's outside of the GTLD space. Now, because ICANN is a nonprofit corporation, the way this works is it's all contract-driven. And so when we talk about GNSO policy, what we really look at are the contracts and how the contracts allow for GNSO policy to filter through to the contracting parties. And so there's this analysis that takes place depending upon the policy and who's affected by it. So, for example, we'll start at the first on the left-hand side. If it's a policy that's going to be related to a registry, you have to look at the registry agreement. And the registry agreements have something called consensus policies that are referred to in the agreement. And they actually list subjects that fall within consensus policies. And so one of the first inquiries that we do is we look at the registry agreement and we look at the list to see whether it's one of the identified policies. And if it is, then the policy, once it goes through the GNSO process and gets approved by the board, would be enforceable against the registry. If it's not one of the identified lists, that doesn't mean that it couldn't be a policy. You just have to look at other ways that it might, you know, might be applied or it might be enforceable. And one way you might do it is you might have non-binding guidelines, for example. You could tell, you know, have a guideline to the registry, or you could get the registry to agree to implement the policy. So there, you know, just because it's not in the consensus policy doesn't mean it's a definite stop. It just means you have to take a look and see whether there's other ways, and that may involve getting the registry approval for the particular subject. On the registrar side, it's very similar. The registrar agreements have lists of subjects that are appropriate for consensus policies. And again, it's the same analysis. Very similar. If it's listed as one of the topics, and we'll go through some of the topics, then the policy, when it's recommended by the GNSO and adopted by the board, becomes enforceable against the registrars. If it's not a consensus policy, then you have to just look to other means if you want to make it enforceable against the registrars.
So this is Jeff Newman. Just a question, I've asked this question before, and I didn't understand it when the registrar accreditation agreements were revised. But to me, there is a different definition of what constitutes a consensus policy between registries and registrars. So the key question is, what if you have something that amounts to a consensus policy for a registry but not a registrar, or vice versa? Because they are completely different definitions.
When you go through it, you'll see the language. It's similar. I mean, there's definitely similar topics in the registry agreements and the registrar agreements. But they're just, you know, I think the registry agreements have a more clear definition of consensus policies. They use different language.
But you can have an argument. In other words, the registry, something could be a consensus policy for the registries, and the registrars can say, well, that doesn't fit under our definition.
And it just depends on whether you're targeting, you know, a registrar issue or a registry. I mean, sometimes it's a registrar policy, sometimes it's a registry policy. So if it's more targeted to registrars, then you'd look at the registrar agreement. And Dan, I don't know if you have any suggestions on that.
Just that there is, I agree there could be an issue there, but there is a, I don't think there's anything, there is something equivalent to the registry. In the registrar agreements, it says registrars have to follow registrar policies necessary to implement registry policies. So it's sort of like a...
It's a back door, yeah. Registrars won't be too thrilled about that, right? I mean, Tim, can you imagine if something didn't come under the definition for a registrar, consensus policy, but did under a registry, then the registry tries to back end it and say, well, we know registrar, it didn't, but since you have to implement things that help us implement our consensus policies, it gets enforced. I think in the group that's being formed to talk about amendments to the registrar accreditation agreement, I think it's an excellent issue for that group to add, to just synchronize the definitions, whatever they are. There's no reason they should be different. It should all be synchronized so that when a working group gets together. Oh, geez, I would love the registrars because it's a lot more flexible. But I think it would be the other way around. So, yes. Yes. The answer is yes to that.
So just to, I would just recharacterize it. It's not the back door. It's one of the pickets in the picket fence for registrars is policies that they have to implement because of registry policies. It's not it's right there in black and white in the registrar contract. Their picket fence includes any registrar policies necessary to implement registry policies. So.
Okay, and Mike, you had a question?
No, I was going to make the same point Jeff made. The RAA group definitely needs to have that on their agenda as an issue.
So we have the consensus policies under the registry agreement, the consensus policies under the registrar agreement, but there are other terms in the registry contracts and the registrar contracts, and so sometimes the analysis might involve looking at other provisions if applicable, and we'll walk through some of those provisions. If it turns out that it is all it's referred to in another part of the contract, then it may actually be enforceable against the registries or registrars. It just depends on the actual contract language. And then the GNSO might also have a policy that doesn't necessarily apply to registrars or registries, but is really something that's meant to be a policy recommendation to ICANN itself, in which case, you don't need to go through the analysis of the contracts, but you would make a recommendation and the board would, consider it and possibly approve it. So let's talk now about the registrar agreements. As I indicated before, they are standard contracts. The language is all the same. And the consensus policy list is reflected in Section 4.2 of the registrar agreement. And so the analysis really boils down, and when you're looking at a policy, is whether it falls into one of these buckets. And we can talk about some of the buckets, because some of them are broad and some of them are very specific. And I'm highlighted here on the next slide. The first one is if the issue is uniform or coordinated resolution would be reasonably necessary to facilitate the interoperability, technical reliability, or operational stability of the registrar's registries or the DNS. So this is kind of a broad catch-all. If the GNSO finds that a uniform or coordinated resolution is necessary, then that might be where one of the policies could fall in. In Section 4.2.2, we have the implementation. This is the one that Dan just referred to, of ICANN policies or specifications related to a DNS registry or to registry services. Section 4.2.3, this is the one that's kind of come up in the registration abuse working group that we were working on. If it relates to the resolution of a dispute regarding the registration of domains as opposed to use of domains, including where the policies take into account use of the domain. So it's unusual wording, but this is being looked at right now in our registration abuse group. 4.2.4, the principles for allocation of registered names. This is first come, first serve, what to do after deletion of a name, that sort of thing. The list continues in the contract, and this slide has additional information. Accurate and up-to-date domain contact and name server information. So that's who is usually, this is one of the areas where who is triggered in the contract. Another possible topic for consensus policy is prohibitions on domain name warehousing or speculation by registries or registrars. Reservation of domain names, that's the reserved names list, and how names get on that list. 4.2.8, procedures to avoid disruption of registrations due to suspension or termination of a registry or registrar. So if there were a policy that related to, what happens when a registry or registrar is terminated or suspended, that's where, this is a section that might apply. There's also a section that relates to transfers of registration data upon change in registrars. I'll come back to this slide in a minute. And then, as I mentioned before, that there are other contract terms so that where policy could possibly be developed. For example, in section there's a section that relates to Central Whois. I think we talked about that this morning. That's in a different part of the registrar agreement. The registrar agreements also have a placeholder for a registrar code of conduct, which could be developed, and then there's specific requirements on how that could
Minister
be developed.
Delaney, if you would like to continue this conference, please press star one now.
Okay. registrar verification of who is also a possibility, and that's in section 3.7.8. And then the little blue diamonds to show how in the contract it could be adopted, so you'd need GNSO consensus for that. There's also a placeholder for temporary specs or specifications that relate to security or stability. So if there was some emergency thing that needed to get passed because of a stability or security issue, you can rely on that section, and it requires a two-thirds board vote instead of going through the GNSO consensus policy. It's more complicated than that, but it's just a placeholder for emergency situations. And then there's
minutes
also
remaining. If you would like to continue this conference, please press star one now.
Okay, there's also a placeholder for domain name dispute resolution, and that's where the UDRP, for example, would fall under. And then there's also a section on prohibitions on domain name warehousing and speculation. So this is just an example of other contract terms where policy could be developed, and it's in sections that throughout the registrar agreement. The contract also has limitations on what can be within GNSO policy, and so the contract specifically says, for example, that you can't prescribe or limit the price of registrar services. So something related to price is basically off topic. A policy that would unreasonably restrain competition is also would not be appropriate.
If you would like to continue
policies that single out a registrar for disparate treatment unless justified by substantial and reasonable cause. And then there may be others. So the contract has, actually a language on what was not appropriate for policy. I didn't, again, this is not exclusive. I just picked out highlights. I would have to look at the contract and look further. So when you look at policies that have been developed, I've just given examples of ones that have been developed by the GNSO and examples of the sections where they were potentially, relied on to adopt the policies. It's just examples of the kinds of things that GNSO has done over the past. And as I indicated before, the registry situation is a little bit different because, as Jeff indicated, it's not exactly the same language, although the principles are very similar. And so you go through the same analysis with respect to registries. You'll look to see whether the subject is specified as a consensus policy under the registry agreement. And as this example comes from the .org agreement, these are the kinds of things that are highlighted as appropriate for consensus policies. If it's a topic that, again, and you can see that the themes are similar to the registrar agreements, although the wording may not be exactly the same. Uniform or coordinated resolution reasonably necessary to facilitate the interoperability, security, or stability of the internet or the DNS. If it relates to functional or performance specifications for registry services, if it's a policy that relates to security or stability of the registry database, could be a registry policy to implement consensus policies related to registry operations or registrars. And then there's a similar language related to resolution of disputes regarding registration of domains as opposed to use of domain names. And then the registry agreements go down and give examples of this, and you can see them in these little diamonds here. Again, the very similar concepts to what appears in the registrar agreements. Principles for allocation of registered names, prohibitions on domain name warehousing or speculation by registries or registrars, reserve name lists, accurate and up-to-date who is information, a policy related to avoiding disruptions due to suspension or termination of a registry or registrar, or a resolution of disputes that regarding parties that may register or maintain registrations. So you can see the language is very similar. It's not exact. And again, you know, you'd have to look at each contract to determine whether to determine, you know, which registry you're trying to apply the policy to. The registry contract also has limitations, and they're a little broader than what the registrar agreements have. For example, the registry contracts have exclusions, again, for price of registry services. There's exclusions for developing standards for consideration of proposed registry services. There's limitations on imposing terms for renewing or terminating the registry agreement, or modifying ICANN's obligations to the registry, or even to modify contract limits on consensus policies or technical specs or policies. And there may be others. These are just examples of the kinds of exclusions that the contract may have. And then outside of the definition of consensus policies, there's also other contract terms where policy may be developed. And this is similar to the registrar example I gave earlier. If it's a policy that relates to temporary specifications due to security or stability, there's a an emergency procedure where you could get a two-third board action and get a policy adopted. And then there also may be others in the registry agreements. So when you step back and figure out what the GNSO can do, I mean, there's many outcomes of policy work that are possible, and here I've highlighted some of them. Binding policies on contracted parties. You can also have non-binding policies, as I mentioned before, on the contracted parties. You could come up with best practices or codes of conduct. You could come up with policies that are basically advice to ICANN, which might include recommendations for contract changes. And you can also have policy work that relates to technical specifications. And so that's you know, basically the presentation. And if you guys have any questions, I'd be happy to answer. Okay. Great. Oh, question?
Can't let you off that easily. On the first couple of slides you had on things that were within scope for on the registrars, you listed criteria according to 3.4 and whatever, but you didn't have the follow-on box you had on several other ones of what is required to enact that policy.
Which one are you looking at? Like this, like any of these?
That's yes.
So these are the ones that are consensus policies, and then you go through the GNSO, the recommendations, and then the GNSO recommendations go up to the board, and if the board adopts them, then maybe they become binding.
And they become binding immediately.
The contract has a reasonable time to allow implementation, so there's, you know, it's not exactly immediate, but yeah.
It's not a renewal issue for ones that are within the scope of that, of those clauses.
Right.
Okay. I mean, one of the problems, it's a commentary, not a question, is that we're dealing with individually negotiated contracts on the registry's side. And with registrars, we by de facto must have a single contract that applies to all of them. And that's really has become problematic.
Eric, did you have a question, comment?
Yes, I did. Thank you, Marty. Can you make your slides available, please?
Yes. We'll post them.
Thank you very much.
Rod?
So I just had a question on definition, and I have not heard the definition of what security and stability as concepts actually are, and there's a great deal of debate around that depending on how you're trying to apply it. So as ICANN or any of the, or GNSO or anybody come up with a hard, ironclad definition of what those terms mean, or are we going to be interpreting them per situation ad nauseum.
And I'm sure this isn't the same in all the registry agreements, but if you look at the .com registry agreement, you will see very specific definitions for security and stability.
Yeah, Dan, I don't. I mean, I'm not familiar with any particular definition. It seems to come up on a case-by-case basis, right? Or do you have any input on that?
Yeah, right. So it's in, I think, almost all the registry agreements now, and I think it's the exact same definition for security and stability. And it goes into, you know, unauthorized disclosure, alteration, insertion of registry data. So, but it is specific to registries, though. It might be different somewhat for registrars, but it's not defined in the RA. But that might be another thing you want to throw on the things to talk about when you open up the RA.
Margie, if I could add, you know, a lot of you probably don't spend a lot of time looking at the contracts that registries and registrars have, but an area like this that's so important to the GNSO, I would strongly encourage you to go to the consensus policy section and familiarize yourself with that. Margie's done a really good job of summarizing that, but it's not that hard to follow, and I certainly encourage it.
And I have on the slide the link to the consensus policy page, at least for the registrars.
Any other questions?
Okay. Marika?
Someone just posted a question. I don't know if it's directly related to this, but on the Adobe Connect, Andy Gardner is asking, did ICANN ever tell us why, when they handed over the S-Domains registrant database to Directi, they handed over the entire historical database, including people who no longer had registrations at S-Domains, and did nothing when Directi started spamming those people? I don't think it's exactly related to this issue, but it's a question that has been posted.
It just sounds like something. I don't know if that is the message box still open. We have there's a way to submit general questions like that about ICANN business, and it's on the homepage. I don't know though if it's still open, but it sounds like more of a general issue, not related to this presentation.
I'll check if it's open and direct them in that.
Thanks.
Okay. Go ahead.
So I just wanted to extend my earlier answer about the security and stability definitions. They're also in the Registry Services Evaluation Policy, which was a consensus policy, and that also defines security and stability as it applies to registry services. So that does apply to all registries. So.
Thank you, everyone. So I guess we're free then till when do we start up? Yeah? We have a half hour break.
Third floor, third level. Yeah. Sorry, I didn't hear you.